I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Friday. We're very grateful that you're here with us today. Going into the weekend, we have great sports news on the horizon last night with the St. Louis Blues, and we're going to get to that right now with Kevin Wheeler.
Hey, Annie!
Let's talk a little business of baseball here.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball.
There's no crying in baseball!
Cardinals, Blues, and more with sports reporter Kevin Wheeler.
Well, we got to start with the St. Louis Blues today as they advance past the Minnesota Wild last night. Kevin Wheeler, KMOX sports reporter, hosts a Sports Open Line with us every Friday. Kevin, welcome to the show. Let's go Blues.
Yeah, no kidding, man. How about the way they recovered from all of the difficulties? I thought that was amazing, man. You know, I know they got a couple of the guys back toward the end of the series, but, you know, you're going up against a team that, you know, over the course of the regular season was not only your equal, but, you know, slightly better in the standings, although you beat them head-to-head more often than not. But you had to overcome a lot in this series with guys being out, you know, half of your top six defensemen missing a big chunk of the series. And to see them overcome that, to see the strength of the team, which is the depth of the forwards, kind of push itself toward the top of the pile and, you know, give them that little extra. And, by the way, nice to see Jordan Binnington come in and be the guy that, I don't know if I want to say saved the series, but certainly looked like the guy that we saw a couple years ago.
Completely. You know, it seems to me, as somebody who is a huge St. Louis Blues fan, but not as much in the know when it comes to hockey, it seems like the Blues have a lot of blowouts that go both ways. And watching the game last night, I appreciated it because I got home from a kid's spring concert, turned it on, and it was just kind of a butt-kicking. Is this a high and a low? Is this the way the Blues play, or is this just my assessment of it?
No, I mean it's how the series went for sure. I don't think that that's a typical trait of theirs. And if we look at the regular season, you know, there were periods of time where they were really good and consistent for long stretches, and then there were periods of time when they weren't. And it wasn't scattered like that all year. I think it's more of a kind of a short term thing. And I also think that in this particular series, a lot of what we saw early in terms of the result going bad the other way was what you were missing and trying to figure out how to adjust on the fly. And once they adjusted and started getting some guys back, well, then it got a lot easier.
Yeah, you talked last week about the injuries to our defense and how that's kind of a domino effect. If you move something into that place, then what happens next? Do the St. Louis Blues look good going into this next series against Stan Kroenke Sucks' Colorado Avalanche? To get that in there.
Well, I mean, yeah, it looks better, and hopefully it'll get even better, right? I mean, we saw Nick Leddy and Robert Bortuzzo around for the end of the Minnesota series. So, you know, that if those two are playing, that's five of your top six. It'd be nice to get Scandella back into the mix. And I think it's one of those things that it's going to be everything in the playoffs is day to day, right? I mean, that's just kind of how they're going to categorize everything because they don't like giving out information. But, you know, you're much better positioned if everybody that you had last night is there when you start the new series. And it'll be even better if they can get more healthy and get back more to normal, because Colorado's no joke, man. I mean, the Avalanche just won their series in four games. They scored 21 goals in four games. They're unbelievably good. Now, they're a little bit more top-heavy than the Blues, but not much. There isn't a big difference here. This is going to be a really big challenge when you're healthy, and it's going to be even worse if you're not.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question to you, is how did the St. Louis Blues match up against the Colorado Avalanche? My understanding is that the Colorado Avalanche might be the team to beat in the playoffs, or at least in the conference. Do the Blues have what it takes to beat them still?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, look, Colorado was one of the preseason favorites for a reason. Vegas has always had them as one of the favorites. They backed that up in the regular season. They're a dynamic team. They've got depth. They've got some of the best players in the sport. And saying all that, yeah, the Blues can beat them, man. I mean, like, if the Blues play at their level of capability, if they play to the peak of their capability, they can beat any team in the NHL in a seven-game series. I mean, they're so good with their forward group. They have so many guys that can beat you. And one thing they've got going, or at least they had going in the Minnesota series, is their best players were their best players. I mean, Ryan O'Reilly, Vladimir Tarasenko, David Perron, those guys were the top scorers. They were the guys that carried the load. And I think moving forward, you'd like to see more spread out. But, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to complain when your best players are producing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Let's shift gears a little bit here to the St. Louis Cardinals. Seems like we've had a few bumps in the roads here. Paul DeJong sent to AAA. What's the state of the St. Louis Cardinals right now? Are they looking up or not so much?
I mean, this is kind of steady. I mean, they'll have a few games where they look great, and then they have a few games where they don't look as great. Record-wise, I think they're about on a 90-win pace, so I think that's a little lower than a lot of us think they should be. I think I pegged them for like 94, 95 wins. So that's a little behind, but it's not tragic by any means. But there are a couple things that we want to pay attention to. One of them is the Cardinals' offense against right-handed pitching. It's not been good. Just across the board, right-handed pitchers have given the Cardinals a lot more trouble than lefties. Lefties, they've gone to town on. I mean, you know, they've been excellent against left-handed pitching. But, you know, a couple of the young guys that are starting to get a little bit more run are hitting, and maybe that can help kind of boost the rest of the group, because, you know, Juan Yepes has done nothing but mash since coming up for AAA last week, and Brendan Donovan's now getting a chance to play after Paul DeJong got sent down, and he's had a couple of nice games having been the starting shortstop. I know that he's not a great defensive shortstop, and I think that's going to lead to seeing some of Edmundo Sosa now that he's back, but, you know, they also need, you know, Donovan's left-handed bat against right-handed pitching. And, you know, if the two kids can kind of help out while a couple of other guys figure things out, right? I mean, Tyler O'Neill's struggling. He's not the guy that he was last year at this point. The biggest difference seems to me, like, two things. I talked about it on Sports Open Line last night. Two things seem to be the biggest differences. One, he's chasing pitches out of the zone a little bit more, and he's actually making contact on them, which is not a good thing. You don't want to make contact on pitches out of the zone, because that's soft contact. Those are outs. You want to stay in the zone, which is what he did really well last year. So if he can just get back to that habit of staying off of pitches that are on the edges or out of the zone and only swinging at the stuff in the zone that he can handle, he should be okay. But he's also not hitting breaking balls or off-speed pitches as well this year as he did last year. So, and by the way, based on that, I bet you could probably guess what opposing pitchers are doing more often against him. They're throwing more breaking balls. he's never seen this number of fastballs on the low end. I mean, the number of fastballs he's getting is way down from where it's been in the past. And obviously he's pretty good against those, but you got to show you can hit the off speed before they're going to give you more of those fastballs.
We're speaking with Kevin Wheeler, host of the Sports Open Line, a KMOX sports reporter with us each Friday. I'm just kind of going to let you answer this however you choose to, but the St. Louis Cardinals beat the beat outfielder Tyler O'Neill in arbitration, and this was something I heard pop up in the news here and there. Does that really factor into the baseball game at all, or is that just for, like, the baseball nerds?
Players are human, so I guess that it could. I'd be kind of surprised if it did. I mean, you know, in the grand scheme of things, we're not talking about millions of dollars in difference between what he was offered and what the team offered. You know, I think it was a $700,000 difference, which is a lot of money, but not that much when you're going to be making more than $3 million anyway.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like it really ruins everything. I do think players dislike the arbitration process, but my bet would be that O'Neill wasn't even thinking about it. He doesn't have to. I mean, it's his agent's job to go handle the hearing and do all that. I'm not saying it didn't impact him, but I'm saying I'd be surprised if it did.
All right. Well, I don't know how up you are on, or how high you, I should say, are on sabermetrics, but I really would like for you to break this down in the greatest detail you possibly can. Reading from Fox 2, a report on Fox 2 right now, that the Cardinals fans are the third heaviest drinkers among MLB fans. The average fan consumes more than 2.5 beers per baseball game, but according to a study by New York Gambling Online, Cardinals fans drink 3.05 beers a game. Why, Wheeler, are we drinking so much?
I mean, the stadium's named after a beer and a beer-producing family,
right?
It's
an homage.
Right?
Yes, it's, I mean, out of respect.
Louis, we're a beer town. I mean, I'm big on sabermetrics. I'm big on analytics. I don't need them for this. This one's pretty simple. Not to mention the fact that, you know, I would also like to say that even given that, there's pretty good behavior at Cardinals games.
Sure.
You would think that a place that drinks more would have more fights. We see all that fight bull crap in Chicago and L.A. and all that. So given that the Cardinals fans drink more beer than all but two places, I think it's even more impressive that we've got a pretty nicely behaved group of people every night.
Yeah, I think that is a really great point. I'm glad we didn't have to go into launch angles and exit velocity of drinking behaviors, because that could get pretty nasty. Are you a sabermetrics guy?
You know, exit velocity is the one I'd be worried about, because you don't want it coming back out.
Or launch angle. I mean, really.
Yeah, really.
Do you get into all the extra details, or do you think that, you know, you go with the hot hand and baseball's gonna baseball, or do you think that all these extra details really do come into the game and are necessary?
They're absolutely necessary, and the thing is that all they are really is observations of what's happening. Right? They're telling you, okay, you hit this ball, here's how hard you hit it, here's the angle that it left the bat. And we know, based on all of the incidences of at-bats in the last, whatever, 10, 11, 12 years, what that means and how likely you are to get a hit if you do those things, or how likely you are to produce offense. And, you know, for the life of me, I mean, I get that there are a lot of people that just don't want to take the time to learn all that stuff and get into it, because it's pretty tedious. It's not exactly exciting. So I fully understand that. I don't understand people acting like it doesn't matter. I mean, Ted Williams knew that launch angle mattered in the 1940s. Ted Williams talked about it. He didn't use the words launch angle. He talked about swinging with, his words were, a slight uppercut.
Mm.
So he knew that hitting the ball in the air, and he talked about it. He said, hitting the ball in the air is where the damage is. That's what I'm trying to do. And, I mean, this was 80-plus years ago that Ted Williams was talking about it. So what people, I think, maybe want to do to help themselves come to grips with those things if they don't like them is just note that it's just new words to describe things that everybody's already known.
Yeah.
You know, when people talk about, like, the high spin rate fastball, it sounds all technical and stuff. Well, that's what the guys in the olden days used to call a rising fastball. It doesn't actually rise, but it looks like it, and that has everything to do with how fast the ball is spinning. And, you know, these are things that everybody's known for 100 years. We just now can measure them, and we have names for them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, if you have access to information why wouldn't you look at it? I guess it just kind of becomes, I think that the problem, if to identify the problem as if the problem does exist, is that it has really seeped its way into the mainstream conversation about baseball and the, you know, broadcast and the play-by-play. And it's like that's a little too much for maybe the more casual viewer who wants to sit down and take in their 3.05 beers and watch a baseball game versus the people who are listening to Sports Talk Radio or Sports Open Line and maybe a little more interested into that stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I fully understand why you wouldn't be interested in it because it's not very fun. I mean, it's just math, you know. I mean, people really generally don't love math. But I don't understand the pushback against it.
Yeah.
Like, I do this with a lot of things, Andy. Like, all right, that thing bores me. I don't want to hear about it anymore. But I'm not yelling at other people to stop doing it. I just don't want to hear it, so I don't listen to it.
Sure.
And, you know, I think that, and I get it, right? It's entertainment, and you're trying to understand. You know, we have an understanding that we all come to when we're kids, right? We have a certain understanding of the game, and, you know, we don't like the idea that things are changing. And the truth is, though, that the only thing changing is the terminology and the ability to use technology to create more of what we think is good. But, yeah, I mean, I get it. It's not exactly the most exciting thing in the world. I'm sure, as somebody that talks politics every day, there are elements of it you're like, I just don't care.
Yeah.
I don't want it to, and it doesn't do anything for me. You know, that I get that.
Yeah. It's kind of in the nerdery part of that political conversation, and I'm sure the sports, but some people live for it. And that's why you're there doing what you're doing, and I'm here doing what I'm doing. And we're always grateful that you come on here with us every Friday, Kevin. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, Andy. Have a good weekend.
Yep, you as well. Take care. At Kevin Wheeler 94 on Twitter. Go give him a hello from the Andy Fry Show if you are so inclined. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the YouTube live chat poll. I'll tell you, which is your favorite Twitter take from Elon Musk? He's tweeted out some bizarre things lately, but I mean, they're pretty much right. So what's your favorite? Stop the war on straws? Don't disinformation? Chocolate milk is insanely good? Or 69.420% of statistics are false. Back in a minute. Don't go away.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Interact with Annie on Facebook. The Annie Fry Show.
When I'm out walking, I strut my stuff, and I'm so strung out. I'm high.
Danny Fry Show. I've had quite a packed show today so far. Jesse Sullivan, candidate for governor in the state of Illinois, running for the Republican nomination, the primary taking place June 28th. That is a primary you need to be very engaged in, Illinois voters. Jesse Sullivan, as I said, was here with us, which is pretty cool. Tomorrow at the Hofbrauhaus House at Belleville, I'll be moderating a governor's forum, which Jesse will also be attending, along with, I think there's five total candidates that are going to be there. So I would love for you to attend. There's a VIP reception that you can pay to get into. It's a fundraiser, I believe, for the St. Clair County Republicans from 10 to 11. If you want to meet the folks, I'll be there as well. And then at 11 o'clock, the forum is free. So I would love to see you out there. We'll share the I've shared it once on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page, but I'll share it again if you would like the details. Let's get into Wiggins America.
Wiggins. Oh, Wiggins.
You ever been to Hofbrauhaus?
What's that?
You ever been to Hofbrauhaus yet?
No.
It's a really cool place. You are going to like it. It is a huge German like beer hall, and it's a cool atmosphere. The story that I brought to the table today is about Operation Lone Star. If you're not familiar with the name, it started about a year ago. This was Texas. You probably remember the headline, at least. Texas taking the border into its own hands as much as it could. Because this is supposed to be a federal issue. It's supposed to be solved by the federal government because it is a U.S. border problem. But, as we know, the U.S. federal government has been doing absolutely nothing to stop the stem or stop the flow of immigrants coming into the southern border. So Texas Governor Greg Abbott has started this operation to handle it himself because more than half of the border on the south is Texas border. So he's handling a lot of it. He said he has sent more now than 10,000 state troopers and state National Guard soldiers to stand guard at the border, stopping human smuggling, installing fences, and detaining illegal immigrants. The state has made nearly $3 billion in the last year investment available to cover this initiative, and they have started to finish President Donald Trump's border wall using materials that were already there. And that's one of the success stories that I wanted to highlight from this, because this hasn't completely stopped the problem. Obviously, it's still a huge problem. But there have been successes with this that I think needed to be pointed out. One of them is that in the fall, the state began installing this border wall that was left over from Trump-era projects that the Biden administration had barred from being carried out. The fence panels going up along just a couple miles of border in the Rio Grande Valley. According to federal data, the number of known illegal crossings where that happened, near Del Rio, dropped from 43,000 in September to 28,000 in October. So just anecdotal data, just a little bit like that, shows that the wall itself doesn't completely stop illegal immigration, but gosh, does it help. And it's amazing how much, you know, people complained about the wall ahead of time, that it wasn't going to do anything, but even little areas where they're putting the wall up, it actually is helping.
Well, that's like saying speed bumps don't help. People have to slow down, and anything...
You have to.
Well... If you want
to
keep the front
to.
End under your car, you do. But the thing is like anything that they can do to slow or stem the flow, it's not supposed to be a barrier in the sense that it's going to stop, but it's supposed to give the Border Patrol a chance to react.
Yeah, exactly. And it has, and it does. It's amazing how much it does, actually, because that's not quite half of the number. But it's, again, it's over just a little area. It's not a huge area because they can't handle the amount that the federal government should be handling. So they're taking it piece by piece. Another victory. This is a weird victory, but do you remember the Haitian crisis where there all those Haitian migrants, the caravans that were coming through? So that was about 6 months in. So that would have been about 6 months ago in the operation. Tens of thousands of primarily Haitian immigrants began coming across the Rio Grande and set up an encampment under the international bridge that links Del Rio, Texas, to the Mexican border city of Acuña
Matata.
I knew it. We'll say Acuña, just so we don't have to do that.
You can't just change the name.
You can put an Iñe above it and make it Acuña.
Yeah, I don't know. It's either
Junior.
Acuña or Acuña.
That's the only reason I know that name.
Yeah, I did. I know the same place, baseball player name, and Matata. Absent a federal response, though, Abbott has surged 1,000 At the moment that the Haitian immigrant crisis was happening, he surged 1,000 state troopers to Del Rio under this Operation Lone Star. They created a wall of vehicles to deter more people from crossing, ultimately allowing Border Patrol to get a hold of the situation and process the estimated 15,000 people living under that bridge. So it's these are weird victories because they're not necessarily completely stopping it, but they're controlling it a little bit more because people are still getting in. But before, they weren't even able to process them at all. I mean, they were just going anywhere.
And if nothing else, it's proving that the wall does work, that the walls do work, even if it's just a haphazard to throw them together.
You're completely wrong.
Oh,
because if you're saying the walls work, but they work to serve your purpose, not this administration's.
Well, this is true, but we're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And scene.
Are you saying this administration's purpose is that there is no wall because they don't want it to work?
They don't want it.
No, it's what I've been saying about this administration in general on a regular basis, which is we are like, why aren't you solving the problems? They're so obvious. It's because they don't think they're problems. Your solution to a problem and proving that, and by you, I mean one's solution to the problem, saying the wall works. It curbs immigration. That's not the problem they're trying to solve.
Well, I know that. But
so that's why they're doing what they're doing.
Well, yeah. And I'm not saying that in the sense that we're trying to convince this administration. This administration's a lost cause. There's nothing you can say that.
Well, that means the country's a lost cause.
Well, you've got to stop what you can stop and do what you can do. But I don't see any argument that you could bring to this administration as evidenced by, you know, them further canceling drilling leases on oil when oil prices are already at record highs. You know,
the explanation that I've heard on that, though, and I think this makes sense, is that there was nobody looking to drill on that land. And if it were not canceled, it wouldn't be put into effect for 8 to 10 years.
Wait a minute. If it weren't canceled, it wouldn't be put into effect?
There was nobody competing to drill on that land.
OK.
So the canceling of a lease for something, it's like taking away a house that's vacant that nobody wanted to live in. You're not keeping somebody from living in a house that nobody wanted to live in.
OK. Okay.
And that canceling a lease on land that nobody was looking to drill in, and if somebody were to come on the scene now and to do that, it would take 8 to 10 years to be able to turn that into a useful situation that does nothing to help gas prices right now.
Well, even so, why wouldn't you care about it in a decade? I mean, why not leave it open anyway?
All things that are true, but it is a political talking point to say that...
That would solve
that, It's not as simple as saying the Democrats want you to pay high gas prices, yeah. So they canceled this lease.
Yeah, but they had to know even going into that the optics are bad. I mean, why cancel? It doesn't hurt them.
Why?
They don't care.
I know, but the optics are bad if they're your optics. That's my whole point. The optics are bad on not following through with money that's already been spent to build a wall where the supplies are sitting collecting dust literally on the southern border to finish the wall when it's already paid for and we're losing money every day on the deal. The optics are bad on that if you want the wall to be built. We can't be shaking fists at the sky and pounding our fists at the table, pulling our hair out. I can't think of any more euphemisms where we look at this and go, what are they doing? They're doing what they want to do. They're achieving what they want to achieve. So from this side of the aisle, yeah, it's maddening. But if you're asking the question why, the answer is because they want to.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, they obviously are achieving a goal here. I think what I'm saying is the optics look bad or they're not trying to even get votes. Like they're abandoning even people in the Democrat Party who want this.
Well, this to me is like arguing a call in baseball. You don't argue to get the call overturned that would just happen. You argue that call for the next call. And so whenever I'm sitting here and I'm looking
at what work, that's not the way I.
That's it. Kind of does.
Not it, oh, maybe in the professional.
Well, it depends on how you argue the call, but. What I'm doing is I'm pointing out that if we have these evidences that the walls do work, then when we are back in control, because what they're doing now, even though it might be their goal, seems to be wildly unpopular, they're going to lose power. So that gives us arguments and data and things that we can point to so that whenever our side does come back into power, we can be like, look, this is where it worked. This is where it worked. This is where it worked. I'm not arguing to try to change the Biden administration's mind. That's what I mean whenever I say it's a lost cause. They're done. They're not going to listen to anything we have to say because they've already made up their minds that what they're doing is absolutely right. And they're going to continue to do it. They're going to accomplish their goals. So we need to argue to convince those in the middle and point out that to convince those in the middle that, hey, maybe we've got a better solution than what they think is working.
The question of why is the big one that we've all been asking since January 20th of 2021. Why won't they do this? What is their purpose in doing it? You know, what are they trying to achieve? And Hans von Spakovsky, when they were in town, you know, last week, he said something at the Heritage event last Wednesday night that I'd never heard said before that I was like, that makes a lot of sense. He was talking about the way that representatives are apportioned according to population and the fact that you do currently even count illegal immigrants in your population, not necessarily as citizens, but they are counted in your population for allocating representatives. And if a lot of those people are going to sanctuary states like California, it's one of the reasons that they want to open the border.
Representatives and electoral votes.
Yes, exactly.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do an Ask Me Anything at 2 o'clock. And Hannah, news alert, Ask Me Anything at 2 o'clock. You got that. People can comment their questions on the live chat on the Annie Fry Show YouTube page, the Annie Fry Facebook page. Let us know what you want to know about the crew. We'll do that at 2 o'clock. When we come back, a little bit about Norm Macdonald. He's in the news again. Why? You're not going to believe this. We'll be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show.
Back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Friday. We are so glad that you are here with us today. A couple stories came out of the Daily Wire in the last 24 hours, and I find them to be incredibly interesting. The first one is about Netflix, and they have put out a memo. And I have to say that we've talked about the Disney situation in Florida and the way Bob Chapek decided to use the company and what he perceived as his bully pulpit to push back heavily on the Florida government, the legislature, run by Republicans, a governor that's a Republican, passing the parental rights and education law, which ultimately ended up being a scenario where you had like 52% of voting Democrats in favor of said bill. They were in 52% of Democrats in the state of Florida in favor of this quote unquote, don't say gay bill, doesn't say gay bill, known as the parental rights and education bill. It was a popular bill, but Democrats and activists within the Disney company decided to throw a fit, become the squeaky wheel, and push Disney into a place where they decided to get involved. And, you know, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. And Bob Chapek, in the stupidest of decisions, decided to pick a fight with the Republicans in the government of Florida. They didn't have to do this. There is a political way that they could have handled the situation, supported the people who felt marginalized by this bill, probably even honestly offered some clarification for the bill about what the bill did say and didn't say. But they didn't choose to do that. They decided to throw gasoline on the proverbial fire. Well, you will see and have seen since this has happened, people are looking at them at each other across boardroom tables and saying, how do we avoid doing what Bob Chapek and Disney did to themselves? How do we not cut off our nose to spite our face? And Netflix is one of them. This is from the Daily Wire, and it's written by Ryan Saavedra. A new corporate culture memo from Netflix is taking a hardline stance on attempts to silence artistic expression by warning those who are offended by the streaming service's content that they may want to go find a job somewhere else. It's happening, folks. Variety reports that the change in Netflix's company culture appears to be in large part due to the backlash the streaming service faced from woke employees last year over its Dave Chappelle special, which the employees claimed was transphobic. The updated Netflix culture memo includes a new section called Artistic Expression that states that it will not, quote, censor specific artists or voices, even if employees consider the content harmful. Ladies and gentlemen, and I use that term very specifically. This is exactly in the face of what Disney did not do in Florida. Quote, if you find it hard to support our content breadth, Netflix may not be the best place for you. Standing ovation right now for Netflix for saying, if you don't like it, go find another job elsewhere. There's a ton of jobs out there you can apply for. Go, there's a woke company that's laying around somewhere that wants you to not be an employee here, but just to be an activist. What a difference it makes to say, if you don't like it, leave. You know what this is going to do? This actually, in reality, is likely going to create more content at a place like Netflix that would support the activism that these individuals are using their status as an employee at Netflix to accomplish and to achieve. It's just going to create other things that maybe other people who aren't going to Netflix and aren't willing to pay like an every other month pay increase on the amount that it takes to have a subscription to Netflix, when it's like completely and only one-sided. And if anybody dares challenge the approved narrative by the minority of activists that are employed at that company, then you get canned. That content's not to be allowed. Netflix is saying, no, it's allowed here. And if you don't like that, we're going to offer everything. Bye. I love it. In addition to that, listen to this. Norm Macdonald, this is also from The Daily Wire, also by Ryan Savadra. Norm Macdonald shot secret comedy special to be released after he died, and it's about to come out. Are you prepared for this? A Norm Macdonald comedy special that was going to air after he was dead. You want to talk about uncancelable? This is peak top. This is apex of uncancelable. And Norm Macdonald knew it. And he knew he was sick, and so he filmed this. This is from the article from The Daily Wire. Comedy legend Norm Macdonald shot a secret comedy special for Netflix that was to be released in the event of his death, and now it's about to come out. Quote from The Hollywood Reporter. One of modern comedy's greatest talents made one final stand-up special before he passed away, and it's been kept a secret until now. Netflix will release the surprise program, Norm Macdonald, Nothing Special, on May 30th. He died last September at 61 years old after battling cancer for 9 years. So don't think for a second that Norm Macdonald didn't know what he was doing when he did this. Brad, if you watch this special, this might actually get me to sign up for Netflix, albeit maybe for 1 month, and I will watch all of the comedy specials in that month. That will be my focus of entertainment for that month. If you watch this, and I mean, I think I have an idea of what this is going to look like. He's just going to say some things. And it's going to drive subscriptions to Netflix. Is it going to be funny or is it going to be sad?
I think it's going to be funny. Maybe bittersweet, but still funny. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like looking back on memories of loved ones as you get down the road. And you're like, oh, they're gone. But, oh, these times were great. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it's going to feel like.
Did you guys see the meme that came out after he died? And it's like, you could almost only do this to Norm Macdonald. He's sitting at the Weekend Update table desk. And it says on the top, it's Norm Macdonald leaning there, and he says, this just in, I'm dead. Did you see that?
Yes.
And, like, you can't see that and read it not in Norm Macdonald's delivery.
Yeah. Yeah, this special, I think it's going to be pretty dang funny. I don't know if it's going to be controversial or not. I mean, he's an interesting guy because he was never really afraid of going places where other people were kind of afraid to go. But I don't think he was doing it in a George Carlin way, where, you know, you just go there because, well, nobody will go there. I'm just going to go there. He was just unafraid to go places for the sake of comedy. So I would be interested to see if he does anything controversial with this or did anything controversial. But I have a feeling it's going to be just a really, really funny special because he had time to prepare it and wanted to make it his swan song.
Did you ever see the View where he was sitting, like, this is like old View set with
Barbara Walters?
Baba Wawa, going back to the SNL days. And he's like, was it about Clinton killing somebody?
Yes.
He's like, I thought everybody knew that. And they're all like, Norm, no.
They were so incredibly uncomfortable. It's, and he's very, like, what?
It's very difficult to watch Norm Macdonald and you're asking yourself, does he not know? Or does he know exactly what he's doing? That's because he's that good.
He knew. He had to know, right? He knew.
I have the moth joke on my sound sheet, and we pared it down to 3 minutes. But the moth joke's one of the best jokes that's ever been told in the history of jokes. We might have to share that on our social media because we don't have time for it right now. But yeah, Netflix, and I'm not a subscriber to Netflix. I haven't been a subscriber since they had the cuties thing up. I know I am not somebody who's a fan of boycotts in general. I am a supporter of you making your own financial decisions and spending your money where you think it's best, pulling it back if you think that that's the right thing to do, continuing to spend your money and advocating or whatever. I mean, I can't make that decision for you, but I think boycotts sometimes are a lazy way to, like, you stop spending your $6 a month and then you're done with it. Like, that's not enough. Your $6 enough is not enough. What does Netflix cost right now? Do you guys have
No idea.
Do you have it?
Yeah, it's around $15. It's way up there.
It's not worth it for me right now. But we have Disney Plus, and I think I have that for like $6.99 a month, but I bought 3 years of it before it was available. I paid up front for 6 years of it, 3 years of it. And I think I got it for half off.
Do you think the Netflix internal memo that's gone out about, you know, basically we're going to allow things that you may not agree with, do you think that's getting ready for Norm? Or do you think that's just broader that they want to deal with it before it comes a big
problem? I think that Dave Chappelle just got smacked on stage. And one of the reasons he got smacked on stage is because he kicked the hornet's nest. And he knew he was doing it when he did it, and he did it anyway. And Netflix let him. I mean, that's the reason why these social media platforms like the Elon Musk infiltration of Twitter, the taking over of Twitter, which, folks, is still going to happen. Don't worry about that. It's on hold for right now. But if you missed that, we talked about it in the first segment today. You can rewind on the Odyssey app. It's not about what you believe or don't believe, or what you think to be true or think to be false, or what question you want to ask about any particular thing. It's the fact that you're not allowed to have that discussion. You can't have somebody come out and say something to you and have it be completely and totally wrong and then go, well, wait, that's not right because blah, blah, blah. And then you get to the point where you're like, we don't even have a conversation about this. We don't even discuss this because only one narrative is true. And Netflix is a bigger offender in the minds of the woke jokes that are out there right now. Netflix is permitting this type of behavior. It's not the behavior. If you stop the people from being able to permit it, then it doesn't exist. It's bigger than one person, which is why the mainstream media has been such an asset to the Democratic Party for so long, which is why you can literally have Jen Psaki at the podium today when she's knowingly going to be going to work for MSNBC right around the corner and be asking and answering questions from people in the press room and treating them with such a bias. Because it's the platforms that have the power. The media, as Donald Trump did say, can be the enemy of the people if they choose to cover truth in favor of narrative. So I just commend Netflix, even though I'm not a subscriber, because I didn't like what they did. And Netflix is saying, that's my choice to do. And they're not really judging me for it. They're saying, we're going to put out what we're going to put out, like it or don't. And to their employees, if you can't handle it, go work elsewhere. There are people who will work at Netflix in your place, that's for sure. Ask me anything. Right around the corner with Hannah in studio. Get your questions in on the YouTube channel. Back in a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.